This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, Emma Arnold here on your Monday episode of The Informer. Tonight we'll be looking into the upcoming state apology by Premier Daniel Andrews to those who fell victim to unjust laws against homosexual acts before they were abolished in 1981. Tom Anderson will be joining us as one of the people who will be receiving the apology. We'll also be catching up with Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, to get his view on the apology, which is set to take place tomorrow. And later on, we're breaking down just how Labor is putting LGBTI issues at the forefront of their campaign. We want to hear what you have to say, so please send an email to onair@joy.org.au or you can text the studio on 0427JOY949 or you can tweet us at The Informer Joy. And just in case that was not enough platforms for you, we've also now made a Facebook page, The Informer on JOY949. You're listening to The Informer on JOY94.9. Homosexuality was decriminalised in Victoria in 1981, yet many of those convicted under old laws still have offences against their names. Premier Daniel Andrews is set to make history, a historic apology to citizens convicted of homosexuality, making Victoria the first government to do so. The apology will be directed to those directly affected by these laws, but will also extend to the broader LGBTI community. These laws in question included buggery, gross indecency, indecent assault on the male, and loitering or soliciting for homosexual purposes. Tonight, we are lucky enough to be joined by Tom Anderson, who experienced the injustice of these laws firsthand following an incident that occurred when he was only 14. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
Daniel Andrews posted your story on social media a few days ago in what was a really powerful statement on the importance of this apology. But how has this experience affected the course of your own life?
Throughout my life, it's really hard to put into words. You know, there's untold anguish, anxiety, stress. You know, I've never been able to come to terms with why this actually happened to me. Yeah, under my circumstances where I was actually the victim of child abuse, going to the police and reporting my perpetrator, that I was end up charged as well because I had, in the course of the abuse, penetrated him. Now, because of that, because I said that in all good faith to the police, they decided they would charge me. And I've never been able to understand, you know, that's almost 40 years ago now, and I've never been able to understand how a victim can be implicit in their own crime and how what a naive 14-year-old boy who was groomed by his employer, you know, for sexual purposes could actually know about actually committing a crime. Yeah. So it's, you know, even now, you know, it's still, you know, so even just a report of child abuse or so on the TV or the radio can trigger me back into that dark space. So, you know, it's been there. It's getting easier to live with. The more I talk about it, the less it affects me, kind of thing. So, yeah, so, you know, in the long run, it is getting easier.
It's getting easier, but I mean, for many people, it's hard enough to imagine that kind of abuse, but then to have it put back on you as if it's your own fault, I mean, the lack of logic is actually overwhelming, but the post itself has been shared by hundreds of people and it's received thousands and thousands of likes of love and support. And some of the comments are really beautiful and it's good that you're tapping into this community. I mean, how has reaching out helped you so far?
Yeah. I broke my own cardinal rule where they say never read the comments. I actually sat there that night and actually read all the comments and I was overwhelmed. Yeah, you know, I think I sit there just pressing like, like. Yeah, and there's a few there that, yeah, you know, I actually jumped online and clarified what they'd said or what they'd heard. Yeah, a lot of questions were coming up about, you know, about the expungement. Yeah, you know, and I was, you know, had to inform them that expungement legislation was actually passed by the Liberal government back in October 2014. So, yeah, you know, and then, yeah, you know, all of us that have been affected can apply to have those records expunged from our from our records, I hate to use the same word twice. But I was overwhelmed by the support, and I've been overwhelmed by the love and support I've received from family and friends and everyone I've come in contact with, as I've told my story over the years. I started my public campaign 6 years ago with a Facebook page. I just created and tweeted the hell out of it, and I wrote this huge 2,000-word post on Facebook, created a Facebook page, and it was the first time I'd actually told my story in 34 years. And from that page, it gained momentum. First of all with Darren Hinchin 3RW, and then local newspapers, and we picked it up. And then it got to the stage where I didn't know how far I could take it myself. And then somehow or other, Anna and Human Rights Legal Law Centre, is it, came across my story and my page, and they picked it up and took the helped me over the line with my campaign. So, it's been a long and arduous 6 years. Sometimes I've sat there and thought, why am I doing this? Because it does, at the start with all the media and that, it did push me back into that dark place. But I've got to the stage now that I'm really looking forward to it,
Well, absolutely. And I guess the next stage of it is this apology, because whilst it has been expunged, I mean, there's a whole different process involved with the actual recognition that what you went through should not have happened. And so, I mean, what does this apology, do you think it's a step in the right direction?
It's a great step. It's an acknowledgement that, for me, it's actually an acknowledgement that I'm finally going to know that I did nothing wrong. I have convinced myself over the years that I did nothing wrong. I always thought at the start that I did do something wrong, but then the more I got into it, the more I researched it, the more I realised I did do nothing wrong. But it's actually going to be good to hear from a person in authority, the greatest authority in the state, the Premier, to say, sorry, you did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be some way towards acknowledging what I've actually been through, what the impact it's had on my life, it's going to be an opportunity to... it's not going to be the be-all and end-all, but it's going to be the next step in the process of dealing with it, kind of thing.
Absolutely, and it's so great that you've come forward with your story, because I know for a fact that you're encouraging others to do so. So thank you so much for being a role model. We really appreciate it.
In for a pound, in for a penny.
Thanks again for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
That was Tom Anderson talking about his experience and how he's making massive changes in the LGBTI community. And to follow that up, Steph is actually going to be talking with Minister for Equality, Martin Foley. Steph?
Minister Martin Foley, thanks for joining us on The Informer this evening.
My pleasure, Steph.
First of all, I don't know if you just caught the end of Tom chatting with us there.
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to say about that?
Oh, look, I do. And I'd met Tom when the first expungement legislation went through in late 2014. And the Premier and I got an opportunity to meet with Tom and a number of others who will be the first people to have their convictions expunged recently. And their words and their stories put much more eloquently the reasons why the Victorian government is pursuing this apology. He did nothing wrong. He thought he did. He was a young man, badly treated by the police at the time, appallingly treated by the laws at the time. He knows he didn't do anything wrong. What the apology tomorrow is about is a recognition by the Victorian government that it was we, the people of Victoria and our laws, who were wrong. That these were actions, loving actions, that should never have been a crime. And for that, we are very sorry, truly sorry. And as Tom said, it's a step. It's a step not just in expunging criminal records that should never have been criminal records, but it's also a step in a journey of understanding and support and healing. So, for instance, I've been in meetings where Tom and others talk to young LGBTI people who have no comprehension that in our lifetime these laws were in place and that things could have been so bad. It shows how far we've come, but equally it points to how precarious the equality framework is and how much more we still have to do.
But why now, if I may ask, almost 35 years after homosexuality was decriminalised in Victoria in 1981, why now is it important for the government to make this apology?
Well, as part of our equality agenda that we took to the 2014 election, we promised we would do this because we had met with so many men who had been campaigning for this for so long, not just because it needed to be done as a message of solidarity and support to those men, but as a wider statement to all Victorians that our equality agenda is multifaceted and we have so much more to do in removing stigma and discrimination. And that's really an important message that we want to send, not just to Tom and the hundreds of other men like him, but to the wider Victorian community.
The Andrews government has been very progressive in terms of promoting the rights of the LGBTI community. Some would say the most progressive in Victoria's history. There's been very positive discussions around the Safe Schools program, for instance, the appointment of a gender and sexuality commissioner, adoption equality, and the repeal of Section 19A. Are you ever concerned that it might be too much too soon in terms of scaring off more conservative members of the community or indeed conservative faction of the Victorian Labor Party?
No. Not at all. As the Premier rightly says, our LGBTI equality framework policy had a very accurate heading. Equality is not negotiable, and we want to make sure that the important agenda of change, the important agenda of a rights framework for LGBTI Victorians, which is probably the biggest missing plank of what Victoria's progressive notion of a 21st century inclusive society should be, is missing. We want to make sure that we move as quickly as we can to undo the historical injustices, to set the right framework for LGBTI people to be included, just like everybody else in the great Victorian success story.
If you've just tuned in to The Informer, I'm speaking with Victorian Minister for Equality Martin Foley about tomorrow's formal apology to those affected by unjust laws against homosexuality. Minister Foley, you'll be attending the apology event tomorrow. Are you expecting it to be an emotional affair?
I'm getting ready, yes. I can't see how it can't be. So the Premier will move the resolution in the House. I will support him speaking to that. Many of the men and their supporters will be in the Parliament, and then there'll be an event across the road afterwards, which I'm also looking forward to participating in. It's actually not so much about me and the Premier and the political class. It's about Tom and Peter and Noel and the hundreds of men like them who were wrongly and should never have been convicted of these crimes, so-called, and the reconciliation journey with them, whilst making sure, as Tom so eloquently put it, what is it that we need to do next? How can we move on beyond this and build a solid rights framework so LGBTI people in Victoria know that they have a solid place in this community?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that tomorrow is very much an event for Tom and other people like Tom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I understand your office received some news this afternoon that a certain flag will be flying above Parliament soon.
Yes, I did write to the presiding officers of the Parliament and sought their permission to fly the rainbow flag for the next 3 days over the Parliament in recognition of the significance of this monumentous occasion, the first time an Australian Parliament has passed an apology for gay sex convictions, and I'm very pleased to let everyone know that the presiding officers have agreed to that. So, first time the rainbow flag will fly above the Victorian Parliament.
Yes, an important day for Victoria indeed. And
it's a highly symbolic move that the Victorian Parliament should be the Victorian people's house. And, of course, LGBTI people have been excluded from so many institutions and so many parts of Victorian life that we hope that by flying the flag, we will send a message, not just that we're sorry for those bad laws and that exclusion, but we are now consciously seeking to include people LGBTI people know that there's a place for them in Victoria.
Well, Minister Foley, thank you so much for your time this evening on The Informer.
Thanks, Steph.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 and this is The Informer. We've just heard from Martin Foley and now our very own Ben Grubb attended the Rainbow Labor National Day of Action launch where their new LGBTI reform was debuted.
Now I had the time of my life.
Good on you, Margo.
Now come on, give us a kiss and a cuddle for the
family. Good on you.
The Shorten Labor government, if elected, will appoint a new champion for LGBTI Australians, a commissioner to the Human Rights Commission, who is charged with upholding the protections in the laws that Labor passed in government and working again to a more inclusive Australia.
Labor Senator Penny Wong speaking there. Bill Shorten, Australia's alternative Prime Minister, has been having the time of his life in this year's eight-week-long election campaign. From Launceston to Western Sydney, the tour of the nation the Labor opposition leader has been embarking to woo votes back to Labor is clearly working in his favour. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's campaign has been dogged for days over federal police raids on Labor offices and two staff members' homes concerning documents leaked to them by a source within NBN Co., the company building Australia's national broadband network, which resulted in a slew of negative newspaper reports earlier this year. But it was Labor's unusual step on Saturday to put LGBTI issues front and centre, with the election pledge of appointing an LGBTI commissioner, if elected, that surprised gay advocacy and support groups.
Everybody talks, it started with the whisper.
We think it's absolutely appropriate that there be a special commissioner for LGBTI issues to take forward the legislative reform that we put there in 2013, adding the ground of gender identity and orientation to the Commonwealth Anti-Discrimination Law, to the Sex Discrimination Act.
Labor Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus speaking there. Tony Abbott may have had 10 Australian flags for every national security announcement, but Labor Senator Penny Wong and Mark Dreyfus announced their LGBTI commissioner policy in front of two rainbow flags at the Rainbow National Day of Action. The Human Rights Commission, whose office the commissioner would be part of, would receive $1.4 million in new money to fund the position if Labor was elected.
It's with, of course, new money for the Australian Human Rights Commission. Unlike the Coalition, which has sought to have the Human Rights Commission repeatedly do more with less.
This on top of Labor promising to reinstate a full-time disability discrimination commissioner if elected, but the axing of Human Rights Commissioner, a job formerly held by Tim Wilson. The Greens say they support the new commissioner, but complain that it won't end discrimination in Australia and that Labor needs to back its push to remove religious exemptions from anti-discrimination laws to protect the rights of LGBTI Australians. By leaving religious exemptions in the Sex Discrimination Act, the Greens say Labor is ignoring the elephant in the room and allowing a law that gives a private school the right to sack a gay teacher based only on their sexuality, or a religious homeless shelter the right to turn away a trans person.
We certainly welcome an increased focus by the Labor Party on LGBTI rights and the creation of an LGBTI commission, but we, of course, don't just need a commissioner. We need a commitment from the Labor Party to remove discrimination as it exists under the law.
Labor has ruled out changing the religious exemptions in the Discrimination Act.
We have no current plan to change the existing exemptions in the area that you've talked about. I'd refer you to the party platform, which was the subject of extensive debate at the last national conference.
But despite its LGBTI push at the weekend, Labor refused to say whether it would return funding to the Safe Schools program and if it would roll it out nationally.
Labor funded the Safe Schools plan across the nation. You would anticipate, given our strong statements of this, that Labor will continue to be very supportive of a program which counters bullying, tries to ensure that all schools are safe. But this is a long election campaign and I've no doubt we will have more to say about this issue down the track.
So we're going to dance until we drop. A little party never killed nobody. Right here, right now is all we get.
Skidding, ba-da-pop. Micah Scott is CEO of Minus 18, Australia's largest youth-led network for gay, bi, lesbian and trans teens. He says the move is a welcome one.
What we have left is quite a number of gaps in LGBTI wellbeing and as well as rights nationwide. Have somebody appointed by the government who can be a champion for that and to, I guess, shine a spotlight on some of these other issues that we haven't been talking about over the past few years. We have a sexuality and gender commissioner here in Victoria, Ro Allen, and in just the 12 or so months that Ro has been involved, the commissioner has been a real champion for areas in the LGBTI community that aren't usually in the spotlight, which is pretty awesome to have someone sort of advocating for LGBTI people on the inside. And I think we'll find that once marriage equality is legislated, what we have left is quite a number of gaps in LGBTI wellbeing and as well as rights nationwide.
Leanne Renfree, General Manager of Switchboard Victoria, the volunteer telephone counselling service for LGBTI questioning and queer people, also welcomed the move.
Any initiative from any party at any level of government that I guess helps with the mental health and wellbeing of our LGBTI communities has to be welcomed, doesn't it? I would imagine that it would sit very much around reducing discrimination and around legislation to make things equal and fair for everybody. And that certainly, I know from the calls we get, that discrimination and the comments that surround some of that discussion that's in the media and whatever does impact people in our communities. So for the LGBTI to feel that they're heard and listened to and treated fairly, I think can only be a good thing.
Sean Mulcahy, co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, says the announcement was recognition of the discrimination facing LGBTI people.
It's a very promising announcement, and I think it's a real recognition of the discrimination that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex Australians still continue to face. It's very pleasing that the announcement comes with an extra $1.4 million for the Human Rights Commission, but we definitely need to make sure that there's more funding to allow the Commission to properly perform its role.
Attorney General Senator George Brandis was unavailable for an interview but told Joy in a statement that the Turnbull government was strongly committed to the protection of the rights of LGBTI Australians. He says former Human Rights Commissioner Tim Wilson has been a strong advocate for the LGBTI community, and he's asked the incoming Human Rights Commissioner Ed Santo to continue Wilson's advocacy role. So it's praise all round, with only a few more questions for Labor to answer. Will it add the antiretroviral drug PrEP, used by HIV-negative people to prevent HIV infection, to the pharmaceutical benefits scheme? And will it return funding to Safe School, bring back the existing program's content and roll it out nationally? This is Ben Grubb reporting for The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That was Ben, and actually Ben joins us now in the studio as well. How are you, Ben?
Very well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, no problem. How was your experience with, you know, all these politicians and that?
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. So I went on Saturday to the Rainbow Labor Day of Action and the campaign launch. It was pretty much Labor's LGBTI launch for their election campaign. And so today I thought I'd go out on the streets and see what a few people thought. Do you think it's a good idea for an LGBTI commissioner?
I think it's a great idea. I think everyone should be treated equal, regardless of your gender, your sexuality or your race. And I think it's important, considering we are in 2016, that everyone gets acknowledged and respected.
And what do you think about these laws that have existed for some time that allow religious organisations to discriminate against gays?
I think it's quite appalling. I think everyone, again, should be treated equal, and I think it's about time that things start to change.
Being bisexual myself, I know what it's like to feel like you're in a minority and you don't have the same rights as everybody else. And I think having someone appointed to specifically look after those people, I think, is a really good idea.
Currently,
currently there are exemptions in the Discrimination Act which allow for Christian schools and religious organisations to fire people if they are gay. Do you think these exemptions should be removed?
Yes. It's 2016 and I think these days we need to allow people to have their own beliefs and live by those beliefs. Religious people have their own beliefs and they've for centuries been able to live by them and swear by them, so why are we not allowed to do the same?
So what do you think about the announcement that Labor will appoint an LGBTI commissioner if elected?
Sounds like a really good idea to me.
And also, what do you think about the Discrimination Act allowing for religious organisations to discriminate against gays? For example, if you're in a Christian college and you have a child out of wedlock, they can fire you for it if you're a woman.
That sounds pretty
Should they be taken away?
Yeah, I don't understand how in the 21st century we still have situations like that where people can be discriminated against based on, you know, the way they're living their life.
So should they scrap those laws?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
A massive thank you to all of our guests today on The Informer, Martin Foley, Penny Wong, Mark Dreyfus, Robert Sims, Micah Scott, Leanne Renfrey, Shaul McKay, George Brandis, and of course, Tom Anderson. Today's show was produced by Stephanie McLean, Ben Grubb, and myself. I'm Emma Arnold, in case you missed my little introduction at the start. For a podcast of today's program and our other stories, please visit joy.org.au/The Informer. The Informer will be back tomorrow at 6:30, but of course, you already have your alarm set, so I really didn't need to tell you that. Up next, we've got Outtakes with Daniel and Alan. Once again, I'm Emma Arnold. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.